Good morning, church. Great to have all of you here today. We welcome you. It's a beautiful morning and wonderful day outside, and it's going to be a wonderful day inside here together. In Psalm 122, David said, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" And we come today glad to be here, not just to attend church, but to give our worship to a wonderful God, a God who has filled our lives with blessings and brought us together today in health and good spirits to enjoy the presence of God and the worship of the church. So we welcome all of you who are here today. And again, Sue McLean is our accompanist for the day. We're happy to have her back with us today. I invite you to stand for the call to worship, which is printed in the bulletin. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you upright in heart. Yes, but hear the good news. In Christ, our sin is forgiven and our guilt is removed.
And I will rejoice in the Lord, and you will sing about your grace.
Please turn in your hymnals to number 574, A Child of the King.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we rejoice that you have made us your children through our faith in Jesus Christ, your Son, and adopted us into your family forever. We are thrilled to know that our identity is that of a child of God, an identity that will never be taken from us, that will never change, that will only grow better with time as we fully understand all the privileges and joys of membership in your family. And the one day when we see you in heaven and realize the full extent of what it means to be the family of God, to be the children of the everlasting King. And we thank you that through Christ we have been given the privilege to pray to you as he taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As you greet one another today, you might want to extend a hug or two because it's still a little chilly in here. We got the heat on a little later than usual. So spread the hugs around. I do hope you'll take the time to look through the bulletin because there are many announcements in it. Some are new, some have been repeated, but there are a variety of opportunities for you to engage in ministry and service. You'll also find a handout for the trunk or treat, and there's information about the World Mission offering and the yellow card I believe Doug is going to comment on again. But please remember that at the table at the back, the sign-up center, we call it, there are a variety of needs that are there and places for you to sign up for different activities in the life of the church. So please take time to read the announcements and participate as you are able. Is there a youth announcement?
Tonight we are having a youth group at 6:30 here at the church, and we'd love to have as many kids out as possible for that. We have a lot of fun with that. Next Sunday night at 6 o'clock, we'll be here at the church. If you're going to be decorating your car, though, for that, for the trunk or treat, please be here early, I think 4:45, 5 o'clock. We'd love to have you here just to get ready and get geared up for that. It's a great outreach of our church. We did it last year. We're doing it this year. We expect to have 200 or more kids here on Sunday night, and it should be a lot of fun. If you'd like to donate, there's a box in the back for candy, so if you'd like to give us a bag or two of candy, we really appreciate that. And we've got a bunch of other things too. Pretty cool schedule here for the winter. If you're youth group age and would like a schedule, I have them right here. So ask me after service for one and we'll get that to you. So if you have any questions, please see me. Thanks.
And Doug McFarland is going to make a report again for the Pastoral Search Committee.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a good word for you. Isaiah 48. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Amen?
Amen.
Now, everybody has one of these in your bulletin. I would like you to go to your neighbors, go to your friends who don't attend the church, and ask them to fill it out or fill it out while they tell you what they need to know. What city or town do you live in? Have you ever heard of First Baptist Church? And if the answer to that is no, thank them very much. The survey's finished. Bring it back and give it to us in the mailbox. Have you ever visited First Baptist Church? Did you attend services, Christian Children's Center, so forth? Was it enjoyable? If not, tell us why. Do you know what services First Baptist Church of Abington provides to the community? Yes or no? Do you know any needs that we might, in the future, consider meeting? Thank you. And if you have any questions, direct them to the website, which is www.abingtonfirstbaptistchurch.com. Thank you very much for your time, and I hope to see a lot of these in my mailbox, the Pastoral Search Committee mailbox. We'd like to hear back because we need to know what our impact in the community is. These questions come from a series of questions that were put out by the TABCOM, Since we're calling a TABCOM pastor, they want us to get certain information before we call the pastor, and that is why we're doing this. Thank you all for your time.
I invite you to turn to Psalm 32, which is page 869 in the Pew Bible. Oh, yeah, Cindy, I forgot. Please come up. We have the microphone.
Good morning. I just wanted to talk a little bit about next Sunday, because it's going to be like a really great missions Sunday. Remember last year about this time we had the missions weekend, and this year we're just having a one-day Sunday morning type of event. Krista Engel is going to be here. Her responsibilities have changed. She is now the global medical missionary. So she's going all over the world and doing all kinds of different things. She's going to be preaching about being a neighbor. So I think that will be pretty interesting because, you know, our concept of a neighbor sometimes can be expanded. It's not just the person that lives next door. We're going to be receiving the World Missions offering on Sunday morning. The children in Sunday school were given boxes this morning. So if you have children in Sunday school and they weren't in class this morning, if you see me, I have boxes or envelopes they can have. And I would just invite all of you to bring your offering next Sunday for the World Missions offering. And then you're all invited to stay for lunch. However, you have to make a reservation because Pete Morell is going to cook for us. And in order for him to cook around the right amount of food, we need to know how many people are coming. So there is a sign-up sheet on the back of the back table. And you know, if you sign up and then something happens and you don't come, that'll be fine because there's going to be somebody next Sunday who hasn't signed up and decides to come. But if you intend to come, please sign up. Thank you.
So now if we'll look to Psalm 32, one of David's psalms. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely, when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. The word of God for the people of God.
Please rise and turn in your hymnals to number 36. He is exalted, and we will sing it through twice.
Please be seated. And if you have joys or concerns to share in the pastoral prayer, please hold up the green slips that are in the pew. I should have mentioned if you're visiting, these green slips in the pew are for you to fill out with your name and address so we might have a way of contacting you. And thank you for being with us. We also use them for collecting our prayer concerns. There is in the bulletin a list of the ongoing prayer concerns. And we add to that today at the top, Dave Nadell had a successful surgery this week and he's recovering at home. And Dottie Pope is there because of our wonderful secretary, who, as you probably know, when people come in the office, she always wants to know, can I pray for you? And that includes the Bay Copy representative who brings our toner and things like that. So Dottie Pope is the sister of the Bay Copy representative. So these are the new ones for today. Bob Willette will be having surgery on October 28th. It's Michelle's dad who's getting his back surgery. Please keep Pat Lyons in your prayers. He'll be having his gallbladder removed Tuesday morning. That's this Tuesday. This is from Sharon Hill. Please keep my sister Susan Weitzler in your prayers as her husband Michael went to be with the Lord on October 4th. Thank you from Sharon. Joy Corcoran is having surgery on her hand and elbow Wednesday. Please pray for God's peace and quick healing. We have a lot of surgeries coming up. Here's a praise from Cindy McNamara. My presentation about La Romana at Mission Works on Friday was well received, and she thanks you for your prayers. I heard that presentation. It was not only well received, it was well given. And she did a great job. From Bill and Joanne, prayers to be appreciated for Chris, who is the son-in-law of former neighbors from East Bridgewater. Chris was hit and badly injured by a drunk driver in the parking lot at Southfield in Weymouth and is currently at Brigham and Women's Hospital. So we want to keep Chris in prayer for this recovery. And an update on Dick Poor. The chemotherapy is no longer working, and he's going to be beginning hospice soon. So we want to pray for God's presence and peace to surround Dick and his family. We have a wonderful God who invites us to pour out our heart before him and make our requests known, to do so with thanksgiving and let God's peace keep our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you for the beauty of this day, for the joy it gives us to see the sun rise and the sky blue, to feel the fresh air, and to come together as your people, as the body of Christ, the children of God, into this place that is so meaningful to us, where we have offered you our prayers and our praise for many, many years. And among us today can be those who are offering prayer and praise here for the first time, and we are thankful for that. And we're thankful, Lord, for your presence here. You have promised to be present when we gather in the name of Jesus. And by your Spirit, minister to us. The room is filled with light and sound and air, and we pray for the fullness of your Spirit in this place as well. We pray with thanksgiving that you've poured out your Spirit upon the church to give us gifts of ministry and wisdom to understand your word, and courage and strength to live according to what we read, so that we are obedient as disciples of Christ. We thank you for the scripture that is so full and rich and deep, for how it ministers to us in our times of need and guides us and gives us strength, encouragement, direction, how it warns us against sin and temptation. And we thank you for the body of Christ here, for the prayers we offer for each other, the hugs and support and encouragement we can be to each other in our times of need. Lord, we lift to you Dick Poor with thanksgiving for his life and faith. Pray that as he begins hospice, you will give peace to him and his family, and your presence will surround them. We pray for this fellow Chris, who was hit and badly injured by a drunk driver. that he will recover under your healing hand. Lord, we give you Joy Corcoran and Pat Lyons and Bob Willett, all of whom are facing surgery. We pray that each one will know doctors who are skilled and rested and ready to do the right thing when they go to their surgery, and that you will protect them and guard them as you have done with Dave Nadell and so many others who have been operated on before, that these three will know a peace as they approach the operating room, that they are in the hands not just of human doctors, but of a great physician who will watch over and protect them. Lord, we lift to you Sharon's sister, Susan, in the grief of losing her husband, Michael. We pray that you will receive him into your eternal home and bless him with the joy of your presence. And let the Holy Spirit minister to Susan and her family and heal their broken hearts. Lord, we give you praise for the strength of the church, the American Baptist Church in Massachusetts and around the world, as Mission Works lifted up so many wonderful works that you are doing in so many places. We can often read in a newspaper and just be discouraged because so many bad things are happening, but a weekend like this lets us hear what good you are doing through the church. We thank you for the work that's been happening at La Romana, and we give praise for the presentation Cindy made there and how well it was received. Lord, each of us has been called to serve in different ways. We come together today to find refreshment, to find this rest stop along our journey, and to be encouraged by our time here, our encouragement for one another, and to give attention to your word. We thank you for calling us to follow Jesus Christ, and pray that through the week you will keep us faithful, keep us strong, keep us loving you and loving our neighbor to fulfill the great commandments you have given us, to run well the journey laid out before us until we see you face to face in glory. May that hope motivate and stir us and move us forward each day. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. We continue our worship with the giving of our tithes and offerings now. And as you see, we have special music. Since I'm singing, I'm going to lay these in the front pews.
rise for the doxology. Please turn in your hymnals to number 575, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
His father, after he had done some bad things, some wrong things, And there was one way that his father greeted him and forgave him. So when you talk to your parents after church today, you ask them, which way was it? Because I'm going to tell them. And they're going to see it in the Bible. And you'll know which is the best way to get forgiveness to somebody. You're right. You do something wrong, that's what you say. You say, I'm sorry, and you give forgiveness. Let's pray. God, thank you for the forgiveness you give all of us. Well, I'm going to pray for you and all the things you're going to do in Junior Church. Lord, we thank you for your love for us and the forgiveness of our sin. And pray your blessing on our time together in Junior Church and here in worship. Amen. Thanks for coming.
This is
another way to go to. It is. I know. You'll be a great preacher someday.
Who is that girl? She is a delight. It really blesses me. I don't know if you remember, the first time we tried to do a children's message with me, she was in tears. She didn't want to have anything to do with me. But boy, it's a blessing that she is just warmed up like that. And others have too. It's been a real delight. I just need to tell you, I love you people. I'm having a real delightful time with you. But I just need you to know, and not just to say it, but I hope you feel it. I really love you. I love being here as your pastor for now. It's a treat for me. And you have blessed me in so many ways. So thank you for the opportunity. Thank you. Today's message comes from Luke chapter 15. So I'd like you to turn there. It's page 1623 in the Pew Bible. Going to read it in two parts, so when I stop with the first part, I hope you'll leave the passage open so that you can pick it up when I finish the reading. Will you pray with me? Lord, your word is rich and full. There's so much in it that blesses us. We pray for your spirit to move now, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together would be acceptable in your sight. For you are our strength and our Redeemer, and our desire is to live more fully like Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. I'll start by reading the first two verses of Luke 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. That is, to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." In the Gospels, you see that Jesus is as popular with sinners as the Pope is with Catholics. They just flock to be with him. And so, can you picture this scene? All these tax collectors and sinners, as they're called here, pushing and shoving each other, bickering and bantering as they each one try to be the one who's near to Jesus. And then, can you picture Jesus smiling? Because he loves these people. He wants to welcome them, to extend God's welcome to them. Sometimes his church doesn't act like Jesus. Because sometimes church folk want sinners to stop sinning first. we can want them to clean up their act, to change their ways or their wardrobe before they're really welcome here. And that's one reason many churches don't thrive. A book that I read about church growth put it this way, and I quote, "It doesn't matter what kind of inclusion statement we write in our Sunday bulletins, the message is clear. Persons who dress like us, think like us, hold sacred what we hold sacred, worship in the same style and form as us, look like us, and act like us are welcome to come and join us." The quote ends, "Great diversity isn't welcomed here." Now that's the message that many churches send, whether they admit it or not. And that message keeps people away. And so it contributes to ongoing church decline. It's far better for us to welcome people the way Jesus did and not be like these judgmental Pharisees and scribes in this passage. They stood back and noticed they're as scornful of Jesus as they are of the tax collectors and sinners around him. "Just look at this," they say. This man actually likes these people. He eats with them. What respectable rabbi does that?" Hearing this, Jesus told them three parables, the third of which we have come to call the prodigal son. So I want to pick up the reading in verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So the father divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And so he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him, ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. And meanwhile, the older son was in the field. And when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother's come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. And so his father went out and pleaded with him. But the son answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" Prodigal means recklessly wasteful. So that's a good description of this younger son. He left home and blew through his inheritance like the blizzards blow through New England. However, He's not the only prodigal in the story. Because prodigal also means lavish and extravagant. Well, who behaved like that? The father. This recklessly wasteful son came home, and his lavishly extravagant father went overboard with his welcome. The prodigal father threw a celebration for his prodigal son. In the far country, that young man finally came to his senses, finally faced the reality of his situation, and he stopped putting off what he knew he had to do. He went home to confess his sins to a father. But what a surprise he got. Was it one of those, "Well, it's about time you wised up and got back here. Been waiting for you. I knew you'd come to your senses someday, and okay, I forgive you." Oh no, it wasn't like that at all. Father ran to his son and embraced him, kissed him, careless of this disheveled and dirty appearance and that unmistakable fragrance of pig. The father's welcome is prodigal. He bestows on his son, who only wants to be a servant, all the signs of sonship, the best robe and the ring of the family and the sandals and the feast. Now, as you see, this was a Psalm 32 experience. That's the passage we read earlier. Blessed are those whose transgression is forgiven. Or as some translations say, happy are those whose transgressions are forgiven. So this son comes home and finds himself forgiven, and he's blessed, he's happy. He was not worthy to be welcomed home, but in the eyes of the father, the son he loved was well worth welcoming. Worth welcoming. But a third prodigal disagreed. Prodigal is also a squanderer. But I think that applies to the older brother as well. It's true he never left home, but didn't he squander his opportunities? Didn't he squander his relationship with his father? So he's prodigal too. We meet him near the end of the story, at the end of the day, where he's been, as usual, out working hard in the fields, done his duty, met his obligation. But now I hear some strange happy noise at the house. What's that? And he asks a servant what's going on. The servant's excited. "Your brother's returned. Your dad is so happy he's got him back. He's throwing a party." But the elder brother got livid. His heart is hard and it is unforgiving. He has always resented the younger brother. But now he resents his father too, because his father has welcomed that brother. And the father comes out and pleads for him to join them. You see, the father had gone out to the first son who came home, and now he goes out to this one too in the same way. Pleads for him to join them, but this proud prodigal refuses. "All this time I've done everything you asked. I've never caused you any trouble. I was never an embarrassment to you. I've been a good son even though I've worked like a slave. So you've never even given me a goat to have a party with my friends. So how could you kill the fatted calf when this wasteful, reckless son of yours comes home after just spending everything you gave him?" It's instructive to notice the father's reply. "Son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours." Why? Earlier in the passage, at the beginning, the father divided his inheritance between the two. The father divided the inheritance between the two. So, he could have had a party anytime he wanted. All that the father had was his. The father was more willing to give it to him than he was to receive it, though. He didn't enjoy any of what the father had made available to him. He wasn't willing to receive what the father was so willing to give. So this son is all about duty. He doesn't know anything of delight. His His performance is all rigid and ritualized and doing the right thing, and he has no relationship of love with his father. But the story ends then with him still outside, still licking his wounded ego, still prodigal. And we don't know what he does. Does he stay that way? Does his heart stay hard and he just refuses to go in? Or does he finally begin to look at his brother like his father looks at his brother and go in and extend the welcome of his father to his brother? Well, who do these three prodigals represent? It seems clear in the story that the younger son is like the tax collectors and sinners that were around Jesus. They knew they had blown it. They knew they hadn't kept the law. They knew they needed forgiveness, and that's why they came to Jesus, to get it from him, to find his grace and mercy and welcome. The older son, he's like the Pharisees and scribes at the beginning, who justify themselves by their works, their law keeping. They have this joyless and judgmental legalism going. And they look down on anyone who doesn't measure up, who falls short of their standards. They don't think they need to repent of anything, so they just can't bring themselves to ever say, "I'm sorry." Maybe you know prodigals like these two brothers. Because maybe some members of First Baptist Church are off in some far country of their own making because of bad choices and bad behavior. And maybe they feel too bad to come back, afraid they wouldn't be welcomed here. Others, perhaps like that older brother, might be out there just mad and refuse to come back in. It's even possible, better lift your toes, some here might be mad at some of those who are not here. We can be prodigal in many ways. But in every case, someone who is not bad and not mad needs to go to one of those who is and welcome them to God's party. To God's party with God's children. Because church, this time together, that's like God's party, because the prodigal father is like God. Just like the father extended a welcome to both sons, God offers his lavish, extravagant grace to both groups, those that have been bad and those that are mad, those whose bad deeds make them sad and those whose good deeds make them proud. God rejoices when anyone repents, whether they have strayed into the far country or stayed on the farm. St. Chrysostom once wrote, "God never turns his face away from a sincere repentance." You see, God the Father wants every child at his banquet. God offers every repentant sinner a rich inheritance. God shares his own kingdom with his children and throws them a party that never ends. And just like you start tailgating before the football game starts, God's party starts before we get to heaven. Because forgiveness of sin is a blessing we enjoy now. Happy, okay? Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven. And being filled and led and gifted by the Holy Spirit is a blessing we enjoy now. And worship and fellowship and service and outreach together are all kingdom blessings that we can enjoy now. We don't have to wait till we're in heaven. Whether your sins have been flagrant like the younger son or subtle like those of the older brother, God rejoices when we repent. Jesus said so. That's what the first two parables were about, the lost coin, the lost sheep. God wants all his children to enjoy his lavish and extravagant and everlasting party with each other. God says, come into my house. Welcome to my family. You're going to have a good time here. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven. How great is that? As one author put it, writing about this parable, there needs to be a moment in our lives when we come to our senses. And that means we see ourselves as we really are, not as we pretend to be, or want to be, or once were. To realize, I really am stubborn, impatient, prideful, immature, selfish, sinful. But just then, as you realize who you really are, just then he says, we must see the Father's love for us and the Son's sacrifice for us just as we are. So Romans 5 said, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. It wasn't clean up your act, change your ways, then we'll talk forgiveness. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. And when we come to our senses and see and accept the truth about ourselves, we're not worthy to be called the children of God. Our sin has made us unworthy, but that's when we also see this glorious truth of how much we are worth to God. God says we're worth the death of his own Son. God sent Jesus to become our Savior and Lord for that reason. Not a fatted calf, but the Lamb of God has been slain for our salvation. Because of how much we are worth to God. Because of how much God wanted us to be his children. Hallelujah. So if any of us are prodigal in any way, any wrong way, prodigal in any wrong way, younger brother way, older brother way, let's come to our senses and then come back to God our Father and receive his forgiveness and even now enjoy all the blessings of being God's beloved child at home in God's family. But then what? What if each prodigal who has received God's lavish, extravagant blessing of forgiveness would make lavish, extravagant efforts to make some other prodigal feel just as welcome in God's family? What if God's children treated God's other children like God does? Amen. There is a spoken response in the bulletin that I invite you to share. It comes from the covenant you have made with each other. And it builds on the council planning retreat that is a vision statement for recommitting our lives joyfully to keep the covenant, to live by it. So I invite you to make this response if it's what you in your heart want to do as one of God's children. Let's read together. Rather than be like the prodigal sons, we joyfully recommit ourselves to live by our covenant, so that our conduct will reflect the Christ whom we serve and witness to the empowering grace of God in our lives. Amen. I invite you to stand for our final hymn. The words may be new if you've not sung it before, but the tune is familiar. Hymn number 415, we are called to be God's people.
Spirit.
celebration and refreshments in the fellowship hall or anywhere around here that you want to do that. And remember that there's, if you send your kids off to children's church, I hope you know which kind of forgiveness God wants to be given. Vicki and I won't be here for the next two Sundays. I hope you'll behave while we're gone. And, don't let Christy or Bob down. They'll be here next Sunday and Sunday after. And really enjoy that wonderful opportunity to hear from somebody who's a global mission partner. She's going to be able to tell you so much about what the Baptist Church is doing around the world, and enjoy a wonderful fellowship together next week. And I ask that if you would, just in closing, keep our daughter Catherine. We're not going to be here because we're going down to Catherine in South Carolina. She's expecting her baby on Thursday. And we'll let you know. Appreciate your prayers for her safe delivery. See God's will. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord, who loves you and has forgiven your sin, lift up the light of his countenance upon you, give you peace, now and always. Amen.